pale horse. The man who sat on him was death. And hell followed with him.
You're killing me, man.
And welcome to Declarations of War, Eve's longest running podcast. This is episode 275. I'm your host, Noir CEO Alexei F. Card, joined by my faithful co-host, Noir FC Levitain.
G'day, g'day, g'day.
And our special guest for this episode, CEO of Singularity Syndicate, Cyrus Karush. Welcome back.
Hello, thank you.
Great to have you back. This is Declarations of War, where we discuss EVE PvP and politics with a mercenary perspective, and today, a wormhole perspective. Now, Cyrus, you were with us during our deeper dive episode, where we talked a lot about the wormhole PvP meta. I'm very glad to have you back for a full episode. We have a lot to talk about, but first, I need to thank our sponsor, Caldari One. The Caldari One Corporation has just been tremendous in their philanthropy for the impoverished people of Caldari. Obviously, the economy is struggling out there. It's a nightmare. People need loans, PPP loans, to keep themselves out of poverty, keep their businesses going, keep their families together, keep their mouths fed, all the little Caldari runts running around. They need to be taking care of folks, and Caldari One has been on the front lines as an administrator of PPP loans from the Caldari state to fund these paychecks to impoverished capsuleers. As we covered in the last show, they are offering a 10 million ISK first-time ship buyer tax credit, and anyone that they've helped has had a 300% increase in new profits. People that have joined their corporation have taken advantage of these loans, and now they've had over 300 people do so. So that's 300 people times 300%. I'm not doing math right now. That's an awful lot of economic development coming out of the Caldari One Corporation, and you can be a part of it as well. You don't even need an interview. They already have all your information on file, thanks to the Caldari State and the Caldari CIA, and they're more than happy to accept your application instantly. All you need to do is apply. They have so far paid out $1.5 billion, Levitain, in projects through their alliance, and they've grown to just massive numbers. They've been affiliated with NullSec alliances like Razor Alliance. Somehow they've managed to find Razor Alliance. I don't know how, and they're not saying, but they've located them and they've become affiliated. And you too can now be affiliated with Razor Alliance with their very promising corporation name, Infinite Murder.
This is staggering. I am utterly blown away. Particularly since the new economic report from last month shows that the Citadel has been overtaken by Delve. So major things need to happen here to get to Caldari back on track. This venture sounds really interesting, Alex.
Now, the Caldari economy already slipping to the Goonswarm economy. They can't stand it, folks. That's why they're putting their money where their mouth is through Caldari One with their tax credits and other economic development stimuli and stimuluses that are happening over there. They're also accepting new corporations, so if you've decided to take the plunge and create a 1-3 man player corp that, you know, you just haven't listened to this that much of Declarations of War and all my advice not to do that kind of thing, well, there's good news. They'll help bail you out as well. So reach out to the Caldari One Corporation, the Caldari Alliance, and Infinite Murder. Don't let the names fool you, folks. They'll take non-Caldari people, too, and they'll also take you if you're still alive. So just apply. Your application will be accepted instantly, and you'll start getting a hail of these loans and get that 300% increase in new pilot profits from joining Caldari One. Well, Cyrus, like I said, welcome back for a full episode. It's great to have you. I think we talked to you last year for Deeper Dives, or was it even the year before that? Time has just blown by.
I think it was last year, yeah, but it's good to be back. Thank you for having me.
And we brought you in for a very timely piece of content. You are currently involved in the biggest wormhole space war in recent memory. I can't even name the last one, to be honest with you, that's had this widespread impact. So many different groups getting involved, conflict in multiple wormholes. It's really something to see.
Yeah, I mean, this is definitely, I think it's honestly bigger than the war that happened in 2020. For those that aren't familiar, it was Laserhawks, HK, Inner Hell, Hole Control, Cindy, Cryptid Gaming, and a few other groups versus TD Sin and their friends, what they were calling themselves, the Frighole Coalition.
Mm-hmm.
That war, I think, was honestly over before it even started, but the shooting really stopped, I think, two months after it began, and it was a quick rout, honestly, against the defending force of TD Sin and friends. But this one is already proving to be much bigger. Both sides have taken losses. Both sides are putting fleets on grid and getting objectives completed. This one looks like it's going to be longer, bigger, and a lot more interesting.
And certainly the consequences for TD Sin were pretty dramatic and long-lasting. I believe they were kicked out to LOSEC, where they've more or less permanently relocated. We'll talk about the conflicts potentially of this one in a sec, but since we didn't get a chance to cover it in the Deeper Dive episode, I'd like to talk a little bit about you as a player and what got you into EVE in the first place and help the audience get to know you a little bit more. How did you start in EVE, and what was the draw of Wormhole Space?
Sure. So I started playing, like everyone, I've had my, you know, attempts to try the game and start and failing at it, but I finally stuck to it in 2016. I was, you know, a high sec player for a short amount of time, and just reading about the game, I discovered something called Wormholes, and I thought it was interesting. And using the in-game recruitment tool, I found Cindy, and they welcomed me with open arms 7 years ago. And after a long history with them, we're now here. Being a line member there, surviving our first eviction attempt in 2018, I was appointed CEO after that. From there, we grew slowly but surely from a C4 group to a C6 corporation, which we are now, and to one of the preeminent powers in Wormhole Space. And now we're just fighting for what we believe is a just cause in this war, and hopefully for a better future for wormholes.
I suppose that's a good place to come into Cindy. Now, what's the ethos of Cindy? I've not come across you guys too often, but I've been pretty AFK quite recently. For those of our listeners out there, what is Cindy? What is your main kind of ethos? What do you stand for?
PvP at all costs. We don't care what the odds are. We don't care where we have to go. If there's PvP to be had, we're going to have it. I mean, just one look at our killboard shows. We're not afraid to feed if it means it's going to be a good fight. We've fed faction caps. We've fed entire fleets of blinged T3s and null. Whatever it takes to go get some content happening, we're happy to go do it. And sometimes that means we're going to have to feed a lot, but other times it means we can pull off some extremely impressive feats and have some awesome stories to show for it. Dropping supers and null, logging off fleets and enemy wormholes and dunking entire defense fleets or entire cap fleets, finding corpse and chain and agreeing to terms for an honor brawl, and all of the nuances and complexities that comes with. We don't care what we have to do to get PvP, as long as there's PvP to be had.
What would you say is the biggest difference or shift that you guys had to make to go from a C4 to a C6? Because talking with a lot of folks in the wormhole community, they throw around the C level as a sort of a, not a catch-all term, a quick label for a given group, not just for where they live, but also kind of gives a, there's connotations of the size of them or how active they are or what they can do. So, you know, oh, we live in a C2, C3. That's a little different from the groups that live in the C4 than the C5. And I've also sensed since looking into this story that there's a perception of difference between the C5s and the C6 crews. Could you kind of break down for us what those labels are and what shifts you've had to make to transition from one to the other?
Sure. So the main thing for people to realize is that C5 and C6 space are the only spaces and wormholes that can accommodate the travel of capital ships. So if you want to fight with capitals, you've got to live. Well, if you want to fight with capitals with other groups, with both sides using capitals, you have to live in either a C5 or a C6. People like to say that, you know, I can be just as big and just as effective and just as elite being in a C4 lower hole. But honestly, just the evidence bears out that the naturally the ability to use capitals in higher class wormholes just naturally brings out more talent, more activity, more destruction, and more interesting stories. That's obviously not to disparage my fellow wormholers in C4 space and or C2 space, but after 14 years of wormhole space, the evidence kind of just speaks for itself. The big fights, the big headlines, they all happen in high class space, C5 and C6 space, and that's purely because of the presence of capitals on both sides in PvP. In terms of what Cindy had to do in order to make that change, the biggest thing was just accepting that not everybody will be able to keep up in high class space. There is a sort of running perception in C4 space that the presence of two statics gives people more access to content, as well as the fact that because they have access to lower class holes, they're able to support their less experienced members. And that is true. However, those lower experienced members just don't have what it takes, not in terms of skill, but just in terms of raw capability to really punch.
Their skill points, in other words.
Exactly. Their skill points and their wallets, just they don't have what it takes to really meet the needs or the demands of high class fights. And being able to say, I'm sorry, buddy, I know you've been with Cindy for a long time, but we're a high class corp now and you have to be able to, you have to be able to hang. And if you can't do it, I'm not going to have fun and you're not going to have fun. So you've got to make your choice whether this increase in demand in terms of your time, ISK and SP is something you're capable and willing to do, or if it's time to shake hands and go. Coming to terms with that really was the biggest thing that Cindy needed to do to move not only physically but mentally to high class space.
Yeah, I could definitely see that being a hard conversation. Now that you're there, let's talk a little bit about the politics of these high class wormholes and where you guys fit into it. As you've mentioned, this is it's become kind of like the World War I of wormhole space, with everybody seeming to get pulled into it. How did you walk me through your first interactions with Laserhawks, your principal antagonists in this war? Have you guys always been at odds with each other? Was it a rivalry that developed over time, a friendship betrayed? What happened?
So when we moved to C6 space, we had actually just been evicted by Laserhawks and HK and a few others. That's a long story that honestly is not really relevant to why we're all here today, but it is, I guess, a piece of the story. Once we moved to high class, we started rebuilding ourselves, having that conversation with our group of, we're in high class now and we have to make our decisions of what everyone needs to be able to do. Like I said, the people who just can't keep up with the demands, we have to let them go. But over time we recovered, we became stronger. And at the same time, that group that evicted us, Laserhawks and HK, over time, the HK portion of that alliance was weakening over time. The game had become less interesting for wormholers, and that was causing HK to lose interest in the game until about July or August of 2022, where their leadership essentially said, pack up your shit. We're done. We're not playing the game anymore. You should probably move out of our home because we're not doing anything anymore. That caused a bit of a gold rush almost for the resources that HK owned, because it was obvious that all of the resources in C6 space that HK owned were now up for grabs. We made our play, and in our play for some of HK's sixes, Laserhawk stood in our way, specifically stopping us from taking a 6-6 wormhole, so a C6 with a C6 static. They basically gave us an ultimatum of sit down and no one gets hurt. And we told them, no, we don't want to sit down. We'll fight you for it. There was a short, almost like you could say a stare down two groups at the border staring at each other, where we decided that, you know, perhaps it's time to talk. We discussed for a bit, and we decided that since HK is gone and Hawks will need an ally, that Cindy could become that ally in exchange for an equitable share of the wealth that is available in high class space. Because at that point, most of the assets that HK owned had been passed on to Laserhawks. So at this point, Laserhawks had the C6s that both HK and them had, and everyone else was left with what was remaining. Over time, we'd worked together. We had, you know, we were true allies. We were really working together to, you know, make things happen. Evictions, fights, ops in K-Space. We did a really huge dread bomb in Tama together. We did some evictions together, and it was going well. But always there was that, almost you could say, not quite disrespect, but contempt. Laserhawks had been a preeminent power for years, and they saw us almost as like an upstart that wasn't quite worth the respect that they had afforded HK.
Mm-hmm.
And over time, we had kept asking them to make good on their promise of sharing the wealth with us. And for a year and a half, they told us, yeah, no, we're more than happy to give you a share of the wealth. You just got to wait. We'll see what we have free. We'll see what we can spare you. And over that length of time, they just refused to give us anything. At the same time, we also petitioned them that, hey, you know, it's wormhole space is more than just us. There are other groups in wormhole space. Like, forget Cindy for the moment, because Cindy does have a considerable number of sixes. You guys have a lot of the most desirable sixes, but forget that for a moment. There are other groups in this game too who are just PvP just as hard as us, contribute to the health of wormhole space just as much as us too. They deserve a piece of this pie as well. And repeatedly, they told us, maybe not as harshly as this, but repeatedly they told us we don't care. If they want the sixes, they can come and get them. They're not obligated to anything. After hearing this for a year and a half, we basically just said, nothing is going to change through talk. If we want things to change in wormhole space, we've got to do it by force. So we talked to others in wormhole space. We asked them, how do they feel about the status quo? They gave us their opinions. They also were not happy with the state of wormhole space. And talking to the other groups, we realized that we are the only thing stopping Laserhawks from losing everything they own. The only reason they're able to keep up their stranglehold on C6 space and hold on to all these good effects and keep everyone locked out is because we're by their side preventing anyone else from making a play. So 2 weeks ago, we told them that we're not interested in keeping this going anymore. This is your notice. We'll see you on grid because we're not happy with this. And since you refuse to fix this issue that we've brought up to you multiple times by talking, we'll fix it by force.
I mean, a year and a half is a long time to accept that status quo. Was there a specific thing that happened to prompt, like, we finally are at the end of our rope with this?
Yeah.
If you've put up with it for a year, you could put up with it for a year and a half. You know what I mean? What changed?
So about 7-8 months ago, we made another, you know, meeting with them saying that, hey, we should change the status quo. Like, this is not something that this is good. And the gist, and as well as discussing other political issues that we had that were not really related to the sixes. And long story short, we got laughed out of the room being told that, you know, you may be our partner, but you are not our equal, is the gist of what was said. And in addition, the help that you want from us, we're interested in concept, but we don't know if we want to really commit anything serious to help you with the other issues you're having. After that meeting, we went with our leadership team and said, enough is enough. It's time to start thinking about our options. And are we willing to just take this insult on the chin, or are we going to do something about it? And we decided we're going to do something about it, and we started planning. And
so this has been 6 months in the making, effectively.
Oh, yes. Something like this, a war of this scale is not something that happens after, you know, an insult and 3 days of stewing. Planning the logistics of something like this takes a lot of time and a lot of preparation.
I mean, just planning like for us non-wormhole folk, you know, planning, you know, multi-days, sometimes week sieges of wormholes takes incredible coordination to do so over vast swathes of C6 farmland is certainly something. How are things right now? You mentioned it's been maybe about a week or two since, you know, the guns first started going. Any notable battles or things that have gone on? You know, what's the state of play as it stands?
So for now, it's mostly just been the torching of C6 farms. Right when war broke out, Laserhawks dumped a lot of their unused farms that they were unwilling to let go of, which is a very key point here. They had over 20 C6s that were not in use, that they were willing to just dump within 48 hours of war being declared without so much as negotiation with the groups that they were giving them to. In that time, Cindy and its allies went on a tear, reinforcing every C6 we could. Laserhawks began organizing its defense, calling its allies, paying its mercs to start preparing its defensive lines. In the last 2 weeks, we've managed to destroy, I believe, about 10 or 11 C6 farm holes of theirs, as well as an uncountable number of C5s, while Laserhawks is preparing their defenses and picking and figuring out how they're going to counterattack. In terms of battles, there hasn't really been much. There was one fight where we found a hole that they were going to turn into a hard point that they were going to use as a staging base for counterattacks. Both sides knew the importance of this wormhole. It was in its hull timer. And if Cindy managed to destroy that wormhole, that would have been a very strong base of operations gone from the Laserhawks side. So they had their own fleet pre-staged in there. Unfortunately, we weren't able to get sufficient force in there, and we lost that fight. We lost about 60 bill in that battle. But that really is the most notable fight that's happened so far. Otherwise, it's just skirmishes all over wormhole space between attacking and defending fleets, Fortizars dying when farms are unable to be defended. And yeah, that's it so far. But I'm sure this is going to be a many months long conflict with several pitched battles and key battles happening in that time.
I suppose another question to kind of go on from that. So let's go forward maybe a few months itself. Let's say that you guys take the win. What might change? How would you want to see this? How you mentioned a few times that the way that C6s don't work, the wormhole space doesn't quite work right now. For those of us and the audience out there, what is it you guys would see as a working solution? How would you want the kind of the ground to be?
Well, primarily we would want, there's a few ways that this could end in terms of us winning. For a long time now, the meta has been that C6s are farmland and C5s are the PvP space. One way this could end is C6 space is redistributed among the active PvP groups, you know, Cindy getting a certain chunk of the pie, Laserhawks getting a certain chunk of the pie, all the other active PvP corps in C6 space getting a chunk of the pie, but an equitable chunk of the pie. Not Laserhawks, a singular corp owning 60% of the C6s, all of the good effects, while the other, you know, 80%, 90% of wormhole population fighting for the remaining 35 to 40% of C6 real estate, and most of it a lot less desirable than what Laserhawks owns. That's one outcome. Another outcome is prior to Laserhawks and HK attaining the strength and monopoly they had before, C6 space was PvP space. The active PvP corps all lived in C6s. They all rolled into each other and they all lived in C6s. And it's not unfathomable for the active PvP corps to see that C6 space has been essentially reset. And that option of having all PvP groups moving back into C6s and what that entails is another option for how this war may end. Which way it'll go is unknown, because either option has its pros and cons and its benefactors and detractors. But I would say those are the two main routes that this war ends if Cindy, well, not if, when Cindy wins.
Well, I'd imagine which way it goes would be heavily dependent on your personal preference or you and your leadership team. If/when you win, you know, are you going to pick the winners and losers of that, or is it a process you see happening more organically, opening up these holes and seeing who comes in to fight for them?
Well, in terms of who will get C6s, obviously the members of the attacking coalition will take their pick for what they want, but I can't stress this enough. A common comment or concern I've heard from people is that, you know, this is just a naked attempt at, you could say, a swapping of the throne, you know, kicking off one king and putting another, but the actual overall system not changing, that is not what's going to happen, nor is it what anyone here wants. Like, we don't want C6s in that, to that extent. We don't want to control and have a monopoly on C6s. We're more than happy when this is over to give Laserhawks their fair share of sixes, but also Novak, Stranger Danger, Turbo, Hull Control, all the other active PvP corps, we want them to have access to these resources too. Because in my mind, the ability for corps to put those blingy doctrines on grid and have those really expensive headline fights that get the headlines and get people interested in wormhole space is due to the wealth that's capable of being generated in C6s. It's anyone who would try to say that you can reach the same level of bling and fitting capability and member capability as Laserhawks or Cindy just via C5 farming is being disingenuous. There is a very clear difference as to what in terms of what people are capable of achieving ISK-wise in C6 space versus in C5 space. Now, as to how it'll be divided, likely, like I said, the coalition members will take a very limited, self-limiting number of sixes that they have personally scoped out that they want. The rest, honestly, up for grabs in terms of they're open to PvP corps in wormhole space. A strong uniting factor in wormholes is that K-space should not be in wormholes if they're not PvPing here. There's a common joke in quotations, that groups like Laserhawks and HK rent out C6s to friends or renters in K-space groups, and all that ISK that's being generated in those wormholes is being funneled into, you know, rich initiative. People in initiative, frat.
That's the meme board. I keep seeing on Reddit.
They meme about it because that's the group that from NullSec that has decided that if they want to participate, they will participate on Cindy's side. But it's disingenuous. Laserhawks has frats as allies, or frats. Laserhawks has frat as allies. They have snuffed as allies. They have Big AB as allies. To say that Innit is the only one participating in this is extremely disingenuous. But that's a side note. Most wormholers in general do not like the idea of nullseckers or K-spacers in general. Farming in especially C6 space and taking the vast amount of ISK that's generated there and just funneling it into K-space. That ISK should be used by wormhole space groups to participate in wormhole PvP. And I don't think anyone in our coalition would disagree with that perspective or view. After this is done, I would say if you're a PvP group and you want a C6, this is the one way that you would not be able to get that C6 with the old status quo. After this is done, this is the opportunity for those smaller groups who want to punch above their weight but just can't because of the amount of ISK they have. This is their opportunity to finally get their foot in the door, get some access into C6 space, and get some income to, you know, really PvP on the same level as the other more established wormhole PvP groups.
And my last question on this bit is, say a group does get their foot in the door, as you mentioned, it takes a lot to stay in these high ends. Are you going to keep this coalition together in the sense of backing up these groups to keep their holds? And if so, how long do you think that's going on for?
Another concern that people have said is that this coalition will just become another quasi-blue donut. We don't have any plans of that. This is purely about the redistribution of C6s because they've been so monopolized. I think C6s moving between groups via conflict is plenty good, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. It's once one group owns a majority stake in sixes and via their allies are able to prevent any other group from fighting them off or from taking them from them, I think that's where the problem begins. But I can at least say from our perspective, it's not going to be like some kind of wormhole NATO where all of the members are making sure that all of the other members, C6s, are protected from conflict, because then we're no different from the group that we're fighting. I think once this war is over and this coalition goes back to their separate ways, it's going to just be the way it was all the way back in 2016, 2017, where if you wanted a six and your group was competent enough, you could take it off of another group and you could fight for it rather than having to bow down to Laserhawks and HK and kiss the ring in order to get access to C6s.
Very cool. I'm encouraged to see conflicts raised in those terms, because that's the kind of thing you used to have in NullSec, where people were scrapping over resources and access to moons, for instance. There was a tier system of moons and regions that had the better moons, and you could go knock them off if you wanted to and take that space and get rich. And I also appreciate that there is conflict in EVE that is happening for personal reasons. So-and-so evicted us, and they're lording over space in a way that's rubbing everybody the wrong way, as opposed to we are bored and we just want to fight for content. So very excited to have you on here to talk about this. For those who are interested, we are going to try to get a Laserhawk guest within the next couple weeks to talk about their side of it. Obviously, this situation could change dramatically by the time we're able to get them booked, or it could wind up being pretty close to where things are now. So depending on the developments, we're going to keep you updated on this story and see who might be appropriate to bring on to talk about the Defender side of this. But it's definitely going to be a top story that we follow, I think, for a little bit, because it's one of the more interesting fights happening in the game right now.
Couldn't agree more. I think people will have a lot of fun keeping their eye on what's going on, because this won't be over in 3 weeks. I guarantee you this will take months. But we're ready to see it through, and I'm sure Laserhawks is ready to see it through. It's really just a question of who is willing to take the harder punch and get back up.
And also for everyone, I don't think we touched on this, but the scale of these fights, some of them are 100 versus 100, and that's kind of the highest end. We're not talking about massive 1,000-man fleets, but people are putting a lot of ISK on the line and flying in very high-skilled comps and high-skilled fleet scenarios, which makes it really interesting for most of our audience who are interested in small gang fights. Not that 100 is small gang, but it's smaller. Yeah,
relative to what you see in K-Space, yes, it's definitely a lot smaller.
You guys can have a big fleet brawl, but it's really like 30 or 40 a side.
Exactly. Well, that's the beauty of wormhole space. You can be fighting over six objectives, but because of the nature of wormholes, they're all completely isolated. So you can win a fight in one objective and lose it in another, and they can't really influence each other. You know, in K-Space, if you're fighting over six systems simultaneously, presumably they're all relatively close geographically. If you win in one system, you can always shuffle those resources to another system and win the fight in another system in the nick of time, right? We're not afforded the same luxury in wormholes. So just because you're losing one system doesn't mean you've lost the battle.
Fascinating. Yeah, it's going to be fun to follow that. For Nora's part, just a quick update on what we've been up to. As we covered in the last episode, we've joined the Garista's militia finally after a long period of planning and standing grinding. And just wanted to give everyone an update as to how that's going. We've based in Hadales. We haven't really moved. We've been killing a lot. Some of our pilots have been active in the insurgency, which is about 15 plus jumps from Hade. Unfortunately, it's quite far. It was about halfway done, so we hadn't deployed to it. But we do have pilots spanning both areas, and they have been getting in a lot, and I mean a lot of fights. It is the most target-rich environment we've seen yet. And we're happy to report that we are the killingest alliance and the killingest single corp in the Garista Militia. We've been really hitting the ground running there. I'll give my shout-outs early to Half-Life, Deco, Hello, and Hilo, and Imantis. We had a little Hello Hilo meme war in chat the other day. It threw me off. But they've both been doing absolutely fantastic. Half-Life and Deco were already in Garista Militia. Half-Life was a Noir vet. He came back to the corp for this and brought his friend. They've been tearing it up. Imantis has been on a solo and small gang tear, racking up just a staggering amount of kills in a very short period of time. I think he is up to 200 plus. Yeah, he's cracked 250 just today. He is just going crazy. I think he got double-digit kill marks on a destroyer at one point, which is kind of remarkable. Between the four of them, they've been just shredding. Deco doesn't have as impressive a number of kills, but one thing I want to highlight with him is his 60-plus kills, most of them are solo. It's pretty impressive. Go ahead, Leif.
No, I've had a bit of time away, and it looks like a Mantis here just absolutely shredding it for the week itself. I mean, completely different scale of fights from Cyrus and the Wormhole side of things itself, but what we've clearly got here is a very target-rich environment and a great place to come if you want to do any PvP.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Mantis brought down I don't know how expensive this Draugr kill was exactly, because it had a bunch of Abyssal mods, but I want to say in the range of 5 to 7 billion. It was a fleet that I was lucky enough to be in with him. But he's just taking crazy kinds of fights, and he's landing some amazing tackles, which I think facilitates a lot of his kill count as well. He's doing great. Another thing we want to discuss really quick is the Avikin upwell construction. There's a system called Avikin that has a mysterious new structure being built there, and its purpose is a little unclear. Leif?
Yep. So it looks like in CCP's new event is that they've asked for capsules to bring them drone graviton emitters and to use these to be traded in for items. Seems we have right now our new faction modules, consortium base. So we've got a group of tractor beams, capital and small, a new MTU. But also, and I've not seen these yet, but it looks like to be consortium Vorton guns and the damage mod as well, which might mean that the Incon ships are slightly less terrible.
Yeah, they're not bad. They're just too expensive for what they do. I think they're in a weird spot, because if you do get a critical mass of them, it'd be very difficult for anyone to stop them.
Including the server.
Yeah. Although, I don't know. It could make server lag go quite fast, honestly, if they could delete an entire fleet of 100 ships in 10, 15 seconds. Server might thank us for it.
And then they've also got these what appear to be kind of CCP volunteer-led kind of PvE kind of role-play type fleets, which I think people have been trying to attack and destroy and get stuff out of them.
It's been a mostly high-sec stuff. There have been some low-sec elements of the RP events. Gate camps have caught several of these ships. I believe one finally made it to its destination recently. And these are, to be clear, it's CCP staff RP-led convoys. So they're chatting in local chat, they're interacting with players. Just really neat, and I love that they're doing that and incorporating that as part of their events. Really makes it feel like more of a living universe than just a game that's getting patched. But of course, we do have to talk about it from the game development aspect of things, and the big speculation right now is, what does this structure do? It looks kind of like a gigantic vacuum cleaner, and it's pointed at a planet. So a lot of people are speculating it might have something to do with PI. However, a lot of the lore pieces that people are picking up seem to indicate a connection to clones or cloning, which could be, you know, something that potentially affects us here in Eve, or it could be something more Vanguard-oriented. Any theories?
The Vanguard angle's probably a safe bet, but who knows with CCP? They could be picking yet another thing to put up well onto. looking at this thing, it looks at one point this station kind of looked like a Stargate, but I don't think we're going to be seeing any of those for the foreseeable itself. So wait and see. I hope that we get some this kind of shakes things up in low sec, because obviously we don't do most of our things in high sec unless the incursion spreads there. But it'll be interesting to see where this goes.
I would love it if it's a PI thing. PI hasn't really been on the radar as far as development, but it's at this point a very old system. It's very click heavy. They've done better versions of it in their mobile games, or so I've heard. It could be some kind of tie-in to the NullSec changes. Maybe a PI revamp is going to be some kind of stealth NullSec buff. I don't know. I don't know what the tie-in is going to be exactly. I would love it if it's true. If it's just a Vanguard thing, I'll be a bit disappointed. But I think with all the resources CCP is putting into it in EVE, even if there is a Vanguard connection, I've got to believe there's some kind of very exciting EVE tie-in for it. Otherwise, all this hype would seem to be a little bit misplaced.
Yeah, it's a bit of a strange one. I mean, looking at we had the recent economic report done, and NullSec manufacturing kind of mining abilities are as strong as ever before. The mining that happens in low sec, is next to nothing. So I don't necessarily think that NullSec needed any more stuff itself, but PI affects things across the board, including in wormhole space as well.
That's an interesting question, Cyrus. I imagine most wormhole alliances own the POCOs in their own wormhole. Are there any POCO empires with the higher end groups? Do you guys have resources in multiple places?
Not really, just because the ISK from PI is really not that much in comparison to the ISK from Blue Loot. Like, I was telling your co-host here that the ISK delta in terms of the amount of ISK you can make from a C5 versus a C6 is really mind-blowing. And that ISK number in general is just, I think, way more than what a group is going to make via taxes in a POCO. I'm sure they're out there. I've heard rumors of them. But if you were to ask me if I would go to war over POCO rights versus C6s, I would definitely not go to war over POCO rights. C6s, another story.
Kind of brings up a related question. If there is a NullSec buff of some kind, I mean, obviously it's a bit open-ended and hypothetical, but do you see it potentially tempting some groups away from C5, C6? And if so, would it open up a power vacuum? How would you see that?
I would see it remove people who are in wormholes to crab for their K-space ISK, like null or low-sec people who use wormholes to make ISK in, fund for their ships in K-space. But wormholers, I don't think it would change them, like their activities much. The culture and the logistical resources that wormholers have built up over the years to handle taking Blue Loot from a site to K-space and getting it sold is just so figured out and solved that I feel like the inertia would just kind of stop an en masse abandonment of the ISK making opportunity in wormholes. Like, obviously there are wormholers who, let's say, do abyssal filaments or, I don't know, crab beacons or whatever for their ISK. There is a small minority that do that, but the vast majority of wormholers are getting their ISK from wormhole sites just because we are that capable of it's such a solved issue or method of taking the Blue Loot from the site to K-space to get your ISK that I think the institutional inertia will prevent that. At most, people that were making a lot of ISK off of renting wormholes to people in K-space, their income may go down a bit because of increased income opportunities in K-space, but I don't think anything beyond that.
And a final close for our main stories. We asked our audience, are war decks fun? Talked quite a bit in the previous episode about various ways the war deck system is being exploited and abused currently. That's a situation CCP is keeping an eye on, but no changes as of yet. So is it fun? According to our audience, the plurality say yes. 38% of voters say war decks are fun. We got another 11 voters that are about 50-50. Almost as many say it's just straight not fun at all, and then at some portion of the audience has not been war decked at all. I was not expecting that to have as many votes as it did. Lev, you didn't get to join us for that conversation. Do you have anything you want to throw in there? And I'd also love to hear from Cyrus if Singularity has ever been decked and how that's affected them.
I think from a player point of view, I can't say I've really kind of had many kind of war decks that have been, you know, have really generated huge amounts of really engaging content, because you only have a war deck when you want to find high tech. That automatically limits what you can use. And there's so many groups, there's a few groups out there now that can very much kind of manipulate the system. And I think show where it's weak in a lot of different places itself. So I think it's one of those areas in some respects, like high class wormholes, it's almost like the high stakes table. You need a lot to kind of buy in. There are some groups out there that operate a similar way in high sec itself and just dominate a lot of other players itself. And since you're not going to see newbies in wormhole for the vast majority of side of things, their effect is more pronounced. And so I can't say I really find war decks too fun at this time, especially if there's ways to manipulate them.
Yeah, I mean, Cindy has been decked before, mainly back in the day when you didn't have the modern war deck system, and it was honestly just a nuisance. Most wormhole corps, if you investigate them, you'll find that the main PvP faction or part of the corp is in an alliance that doesn't own any structures, just to, you know, prevent the headache of being war decked. And all the structures are owned by a holding alliance, and that one, they just don't care if it's decked because nothing of value is in that corp anyway. So I guess long story short, yes, Cindy technically has been decked, but it's of no consequence to us and to most wormholders. It's entirely inconsequential.
So would you ever consider, I guess you probably wouldn't then, like attacking a war deck headquarter if there was a war deck against you at some point? Just totally not interested in any case-based content,
no.
I assume.
No, it's entirely irrelevant to us. If someone war decks us, they might be able to kill a few scanning alts or a DST alt. That's about it. The main PvP characters that are flying are blingy battleships. They're in war deck immune corps, and it doesn't matter to us.
Interesting. Things have kind of cooled down on the war deck front. SRS lost, I believe, at least one more Fortizar since the last episode, but I haven't heard much in the past week. We will keep an eye on it to see how it goes. The latest exploit worth talking about is people war decking their own war headquarter so that other people can't do it first, which keeps the war open for a certain period of time. Again, it seems like the really easiest solution would be if your war headquarter is in a reinforced or otherwise low power state, you can't declare wars. It'd be a nice, easy code change. Wouldn't solve all the problems, but it would be something. We'll continue to track this story as it develops, as well as any CCP response to it that we happen to see, but so far, nothing. Real quick, I want to talk about a host highlight of mine. So proud of this kill. Yeah, so everyone will know Snuff. We talk about on the podcast often enough. They are based in Rakapas. That's their headquarters system. Whenever they're dropping ships or black ops in the Black Rise, Essence, Placid area, that's where they're doing it from. I just happened to be taking a roam out, Exeger Navy issues. Very high damage composition. We had just left maybe 10 minutes ago, maybe not even that far. And we go to one system off of Rakapas. It's on a pipe. And our scout, Arcadis, reported that he had a Widow on D. And we're like, oh, that's cool. What gate? Rakapas gate. All right. So he warps there. My fleet's still one jump out. And he says, now I'm picking up a Lif. Like, oh, what are the character names? We see that they're in Snuff. I'm like, ah, okay. Widow lands, it jumps, I make a snap decision, Arcadis jump with him, try to point him on that side, go for the decloak if he cloaks. And I jump my fleet in, we warp to that gate, it's about 10 of us total. And I don't know, what we're really going to do here, I figured just annoy Snuff a little bit. They would either siege the Lyph or they'd warp another fax from their Fortizar or whatever. But we land, we jump. Arcadius reports point on the Widow. Just as we land, the Lyph lands. We jump, the Lyph jumps. We go for tackle on the Widow and start hitting him. The Lyph warps away. Like, oh, all right, they're just leaving this guy to die. All right, let's get on him. Let's start shooting him. It's armor tanked fairly predictably. The shields drop right away. It's a Widow. It's got ECM on it, but it can't prevent us from locking itself. It could prevent us from shooting other ships that land. And once we hit the armor, our DPS slows to a crawl. I'm like, oh, god damn it. What does this guy have on him? So we're like, fuck it. Overheat, guys. Overheat, overheat. I'm looking at my D-scan. I'm starting to see Arazus. I'm starting to see more Black Ops. Starting to see more caps start filling up, but no one's hit the grid yet. He's at about half armor. Guys, we might actually get this. Overheat, let's go. We pour on the overheated void damage, and local continues to creep up. We start seeing the D-scan creep up a little bit, but tellingly nothing is landing. And I'm spamming it furiously every time it's off refresh. I'm hitting D-scan to see if we're going to get dropped. And this guy starts hitting structure. Structure goes like a flash. He's down. Grab the loot. Let's get out of here. Winds up being about a 10 billion isk kill, somewhere between 7 to 10, depending on the value we could actually get for the abyssal mods that it had. But it was well fit. We're talking abyssal armor plates. We're talking corpum energized membranes. We're talking tech 2 large trimarks. The mid slots had officer ECMs on them. It was crazy fit. Absolutely crazy fit. And we got it in their home system with about 10 people. I think we might have had 9, actually. I could not believe we pulled that kill off and managed to get all the loot back intact. And that wasn't even the only kill that we got in that room. We wound up getting quite a bit more on top of that from actual fights. But that was by far my highlight for the past 2 weeks. Lave?
Slightly less interesting. I've had a bit of a period of absence, which has been partly real life, actually very much so all real life itself. Looking forward to trying getting back to you at some point in the near future. I'll help by the recent purchase of a Steam Deck, which is very fun for the very limited time I've very much had. But yeah, just looking forward to being back right now. I've missed it.
Cyrus, what about you?
In terms of memorable kills?
It's just like your coolest thing in the past 2 weeks. Could be kills. Doesn't have to be.
I mean, I guess just this whole war, really. I mean, a week before the war, we had a huge fight in Laserhawk's home and fed a loggerhead. That was kind of cool.
I just watched the video of your loggerhead fight.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I was in the fax, and it was some of the most stressful fax piloting I've ever done. But, I mean, that was really cool. Other than that, I mean, for the last 2 weeks, we've just been rolling holes, scanning chains, bashing structures, skirmishing where we can. It's hard to find or pinpoint down an exact cool moment, but it's been a cool 2 weeks, that's for sure.
Any shout-outs you want to give?
Yeah, honestly, I think the entire coalition, they've been a huge helping us out in this war. We've got a ton of talented groups, especially groups that, you know, most people would write off as too small to do anything, but they honestly have been punching above their weight. Groups like Disturbing Silence and Forsaken Few, their C4 corps, the corps that people would write off as not competent enough to, you know, really swing and hang with the big boys, but they have been great. They've been putting in a lot of work. And as well, just the leadership team in this entire coalition, the FCs, like Tegan, like Quantum, or in one of our Intel chiefs, Grubu. There's just a ton of people who are working tirelessly to just help push this war forward and make sure that we win.
Liv, shout outs for you.
I think just looking at the kill board, looking at the Noir characters, and particularly with the new change in Tempest Calcif, everyone has been active and just utterly tearing it up. It's clear that I have some competition. I need to get out there and actually show people how to PvP.
Well, those who have no competition, the members of our Golden Elite on Patreon, Braille, Fate Atreides, Kestrel, Krav, Mark Havoc, Tang Tengu, and Tweak, thank you for your continued and so far undying support. We really appreciate it. And as you mentioned, Lave, the Corp is really hot right now. The Gristia's war zone is hot. Can't ask for a better Corp to come into for this. What we're seeing in Garista's right now is there's one other organized alliance, and even they are kind of farmer-focused, more farmer-focused, I would say, than we are. If you want to be part of a PvP-first group and take the skills that you'd learn and practice in, say, faction warfare, and take it into wormhole space, say, in this perhaps this existing conflict that we've been talking about. We haven't been contracted in for it yet, but you never know. And certainly some of the smaller conflicts, as well as conflicts out in Nullsec, other sections of Lowsec, and very creative, unique contracts everywhere in between. We did a carrier escort contract, which we didn't talk much about, but a client paid us to take their carrier from where he bought it in Podion to where his alliance had recently restaged in the southeast. They were dislocated during the Southeastern Agreement ending. And we shipped him up there, no problems. He posted on our forum thread, it was the most pleasantly boring experience he's ever had, and he was so nervous to do it beforehand. But we planned his route, we set all the signers up, we put our scouts out, we had backup cover for ECM, for Black Ops, for Bushing, all the angles covered, and we got him there safely. Little stories in EVE, big and small, you can be a part of them as a member of Noir. Check out our Cafe Noir channel in-game. That's Cafe space N-O-I-R dot. And anywhere that you find us, you can find a link to our Discord. That'll be our check information in-game. That'll be the declarationsofwar.com website. You can also feel free to email me, Lave, or Zero for more information or any questions you have. But come hang out with us. See if it's a good fit, because we'd love to talk to you. Wherever you are, and whichever side of wormhole space you find yourself on, good hunting, listeners.